Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, let's get back out to these phone lines. But this time, we got Baseball America's Kyle Glazer on the SDCCU fan hotline. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you guys?
Kyle, always a pleasure to chat with you, my friend.
Kyle,
my pleasure.
The Padres get another victory today, and Nick Margavich just continues to go out and be as impressive as he was during spring training.
He absolutely is. It's funny. I actually spoke with a scout who has Padres organization coverage, majors all the way to A-ball, last week after his start in St. Louis. And we were just talking about Margavich, and the scout who's been doing this for a long time, has a great track record, just said, I have him as an organizational guy. I have him as a minor leaguer in my report last year. I don't know how he's doing what he's doing in the majors. I've asked my analytics guy to take a look at it. I mean, he's kind of, in a lot of ways, you know, beating the odds of getting to the majors, even having success in the majors like he is, it's surprising a lot of evaluators, and it's a testament to him that that strike-throwing competitive makeup,
yeah,
it can make up for what a lot of scouts say is, you know, fringy stuff across the board where they don't necessarily see all big league stuff all the time, but he makes it work.
Yeah, well, those analytics are what they are, but they can't see inside, and they also can't execute pitches. And I think that's what he's doing as well as anybody right now. Tony mentioned it earlier. If you don't have the best stuff, then you turn into Randy Jones and you win a Cy Young that way. I mean, I'm not saying Margavich is a Cy Young winner, but I'm just saying there are many ways to skin a cat. And I love the way Margavich is going about doing it. Kyle, there's got to be a little sense of satisfaction in the Baseball America world right now because, look, Baseball America has been very bullish on the Padres for 2 or 3 years and, you know, talking about this great farm system, talking about all this young talent, and all of us keep saying, yeah, 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 yeah. But now it is, yeah, 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 yeah. It is looking pretty sweet right now. So, I mean, it's nice to see some of this coming to fruition.
No question. I think there's always been a little bit of frustration on the part of a lot of Padres fans, and rightfully so after almost a decade of losing seasons. Okay, we keep hearing about these kids, but when is it really going to matter for us? Because at the end of the day, what they do in the major leagues is the point of all of it. If it doesn't hit there, it doesn't really matter. And we are starting to see it again. This player development group has done a great job developing guys. The scouting group has done a great job bringing guys in, both in the draft, internationally, trades. It was just going to take years because, again, these international kids they signed, they were 16. A lot of these players they acquired Chris Paddock when he was in low class A. They acquired Fernando Tatis Jr. before he even played a professional game. When they acquired these guys, they were three years away in 2016, and hey, now we're in 2019 and we're starting to see them, and that's where this kind of the waves of talent, if you will, is going to really start falling. This, you know, we saw a couple guys come up last year, Lauer, Lucchese. This year we're seeing some more impact guys, Tatis, Paddock, and this next group, and then the hope is it continues into 2020, 2021. I just went into Lake Elsinore and there's some talent there. There's talent in AA, AAA. It's staggered throughout the system. It's not like everyone they had is now all in the majors. They're going to be able to sustain this for a little while, which is, you know, really promising for an organization that has 5 playoff appearances and 50 years of existence. The idea of a sustained run of success is pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned the talent. I think Scott Boras referred to it as hot lava talent.
Right.
So clearly the Padres are moving in the right direction. Kyle, who do you see being the biggest you know, who had the biggest impact? Obviously, Manny Machado has done his thing and has an impact on the entire lineup. But what one guy do you think has benefited from that the most?
Will Myers.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked a lot about Will Myers. And this was clear even when I was on the Padres beat, you know, 2015, 2016, that, look, Will's a nice kid. He's You know, he's a good player when he's healthy, but this idea of him being like the big leader is just not his personality. And the owners even came out and said it, and then he was like, "Yeah, it's true." So Will Myers is better when he can be, you know,
just go out and play
three or four. Right, when he's the number three or four leading man, as opposed to having to be that guy, he's a better player because it's more conducive to his personality and just the way he is. It's not good or bad. It just is who he is. And I think having Manny Machado, having Eric Hosmer, you know, allowing Myers to just play and not have the pressure of being the quote unquote face of the franchise or face of the lineup, it benefits him tremendously.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining us here, SDCCU Fan Hotline, talking some hot Padre baseball right now. It's been a few weeks now since they made the decision to go with Fernando Tatis Jr. at the beginning of the year rather than wait. I think it's been a success on the field. Do you think that the Padres, looking back on this now, really did make a good move? The reason I liked it at the time, Kyle, was that Fernando Tatis Jr. was able to make his debut at the same time Machado was making his debut. So there wasn't all of the exposure on Tatis Jr. He was able to just kind of ease his way in.
To a point, but if in that locker room on opening day, I'll tell you, I was there, and there's a lot more people around Tatis's locker than Machado's
Really?
Locker. So I think he got, he got a lot of exposure, but he's always been a great kid and mature kid, able to handle it. I think, look, it was the best thing for them because he was their best defensive shortstop option, and you're talking about going into a rotation with a lot of young arms, Paddock, Margavicius, you know, Lauer and Lucchese, your second-year guys. We've seen for years now the Padres have really struggled on the infield defensively, particularly at the shortstop position pre-Freddie Galvis. And just having that, hey, Machado at third, Tatis at short, that's going to make the infield defense better. You know, even Andy Green said on opening day, his defensive speed is what he can help us with now. Anything with the bat at this point is almost a bonus. And look, he was the best shortstop option they had, and they put him on the big league roster. And, you know, a couple people on Twitter were saying, oh, why are they doing that? Why are they doing that service time? I think it's great. It's kind of crazy. We live in this world where not putting the best 25 players on your major league roster is somehow the right thing to do. It's not.
And it's always wait a year. Let's wait a year. You know.
Mm-hmm. And even the Padres have acknowledged when I've talked to some of their officials, just kind of, you know, just talking. They said, look, we saw no downside because guess what? If it came up and the bat really, really wasn't ready and it wasn't working out, we can put him back in AAA for a little bit, and we don't, you know, the service time thing becomes less of an issue. And if he comes up and does great for us and helps us become and moves up our competitive window, that's also a win. So there's no real downside to bringing him up. You make your team better, and if it doesn't work out, and you can send him down, and the service time becomes a little bit less of an issue.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. One last question before we let you get out here, Kyle. As we look around the league, a couple teams off to a good start in each of the divisions. Do you think that people are looking at the Padres as a true threat yet?
Not quite yet. I think everyone acknowledges this is a much, much better Padres team than we've seen. And you don't even have to be a scout to sit just watching this team. You know, they're coming back from a five-run deficit against the Giants. There's been years where five runs, there's no way the Padres were ever coming back from that. And
right.
Being able to do that, there's a sense this is absolutely a much better team and one of the best Padres teams of this last few years. The biggest question mark is just going to be, again, the pitching staff. A lot of these guys don't have a ton of innings under their belt. Chris Paddock is going to be shut down at some point. Or I shouldn't say shut down, but his innings will be managed at some point. You know, Margavicius, Lauer, Lucchese, you know, the idea of being able to hold up over 170, 180 plus innings for all of these young arms. Matt Strom has had injury issues in the past and hasn't had to go that deep yet. So I think it's going to be more about once we get into July or August and these innings workloads really start, you know, catching up. So, okay, do they have guys that can come up and help supplement that? I think there's an understanding the Padres are going to be a good team. They're no longer going to be an easy opponent, but I don't know if people are seeing them necessarily as, oh, yeah, they're going to the playoffs. It's going to be a lot about these pitchers and how they hold up their workloads as we move into the summer.
Well, don't worry about what's going to happen in August and September. By then, we'll have the division put away, Tony.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good for the Padres. Let them continue to keep slipping up behind people and smacking them in their mouth. So, Kyle Glazer, appreciate the time. As always, look forward to talking to you again.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
See you at the ballpark, Kyle. That was Kyle Glazer, SDCCU Fan Hotline. Nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/nominate San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaking of the Dodgers, a friend of the show, Dylan Hernandez, LA Times, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Dylan, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing well. I got to start with the big elephant in the room. Mr. Irving Magic Johnson steps down from the Lakers last night abruptly. What are you hearing, Dylan?
Yeah, I think everybody's still kind of scratching their heads trying to decipher the little code that he left last night.
He did leave a code.
Right, because, I mean, he made mentions of, you know, backstabbing, and then he quickly jumps to "I love Jeannie," you know,
right.
And you know, "I want to be Magic again." And you're kind of like, "Wait a second, you know, can we go back to that backstabbing part?" You know,
right.
So I think, you know, just because he was kind of jumping around all the time, it was kind of hard to figure out exactly, you know, why he's doing this. You know, I think when, you know, the one thing that the one definitive thing you could say is that, you know, when he was asked about both Luke Walton and about Rob Pelinka, he did not, you know, give that, you know, he didn't come out and say that he thought that they should continue at their jobs. He said, you know, deferred to Jeannie Buss, saying that was her decision to make. You know, so you kind of get the sense that there was some unease there.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I'm just kind of surprised, I guess, you know, and Tony, I don't know if you know Magic at all, but, you know, he's a really competitive guy.
Super competitive.
Right? Right, he's competitive too, you know, because people see Magic smiling and they think, oh, you know, what a nice guy, whatever. But the one thing you notice as soon as you start talking to him is how competitive he is. You know, the conversations with him become competitive, right? Where, you know, I don't even think he cares about what he's arguing about.
He just wants to win the argument. You know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, here you have a guy who, you know, is so competitive that sometimes, you know, and I think that's a lot of sometimes when he's gotten in trouble, you know, at least speaking to the press and stuff, it's been over that, right?
Yeah.
Where he'll say something dumb because he's like competing with the reporter almost over, you know, over words. And, you know, for somebody like that to kind of have the presence of mind, regardless of the reason, and just kind of step away without having kind of accomplished his goal, to me, that was the shocking part, you know? I didn't think this was ever going to end well, right? I mean, let's be honest. Like, he wasn't a very good executive, right? And he was probably going to resign or be fired at some point, and the whole thing was going to like wind up blowing up. I'm just kind of surprised, I guess, that he would step away on his own accord, you know, and maybe we'll find out in the coming days that, you know, there was something maybe that kind of forced him out, whatever. But at this point, it's still kind of a mystery.
Yeah, I agree. Dylan Hernandez, LA Times, SDCCU Fan Hotline, talking plenty of this Laker situation. We're going to talk about it a little bit more as well. I wanted to get into the Dodgers for a second because, hey, that's the team we're chasing in the NL West. And, in all seriousness, great start this season. I mean, last year, 16-26 out of the gate. I kind of get the feeling the Dodgers did not want to deal with that again this year. And it seems to me, Dylan, that the fact that they thinned out the roster a little bit and are giving everybody a little bit more playing time is working to their advantage this year. What do you think?
It could be, you know, and I think also one thing I think that the players have kind of talked about was, you know, the first year that they went to the World Series and they lost to Houston, kind of coming off that short off season, a lot of guys kind of weren't sure of how they should pace themselves over the course of spring training. How many at bats do they need? You know, they didn't want to overdo it because they, you know, they didn't want to come into the season tired. And I think the feeling, you know, around the team was that guys probably, you know, underprepared coming, you know, heading into the start of last season. So I think, you know, now that they've done this once before, I think they kind of got the pacing of that right. You know, that said, right, you know, they kind of started off going kind of gangbusters, averaging, what, you know, 8 runs a game or whatever whatever crazy thing they were doing. You know, the last couple of days, the offense has kind of slowed down. And now you're kind of starting to see, I think, maybe some of the weaknesses of this roster. You know, I think, Joe Kelly was supposed to be, right? And I'm trying to give you guys at San Diego some hope here.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm about. I'm about giving people hope, you know.
Very nice.
But you look at that bullpen, and it's pretty shaky right now, right? Joe Kelly was kind of supposed to be that anchor to, that leads to closer Kenley Jansen. And, you know, he hasn't started off well. I think they're trying to kind of do this, you know, and I've been very critical of them with the way they've handled Julio Urías, in the past where they've kind of, you know, moved him from the bullpen to starting, you know, sending him to the minor leagues, bringing him back up. And, you know, right now, you know, he's been starting, he's been pitching pretty well. He looked great in the spring, and now the talk is that they're going to move him to the bullpen over for, you know, the next like 5 months and, you know, try to get him basically back up in September to get him back starting again. And here you're talking about a guy who's coming off major shoulder surgery.
Wow.
You know, and you know the way these things work, right? It starts off with one plan and kind of morphs into something else.
Yep.
And I could really kind of see a scenario, honestly, where, you know, because of the frailties in the bullpen, all of a sudden now he ends up your setup guy. You know, and this guy's going to, like, let's say he makes like 40, 50 appearances out of the bullpen. That might be good for the team now, but where does that kind of put this kid?
Right.
Right. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of issues as they kind of go forward that they're going to have to address. You know, part of it too is Clayton Kershaw. You know, at least in the first rehab start, his velocity was kind of, you know, in the high 80s, low 90s. And that's not where you want his fastball to be, you know. And I mean, I think he put an emphasis on trying to increase his fastball velocity, coming into this year, because I think that he recognized that, right, without that, like, elite velocity, that he was having trouble, you know, performing at an elite level. I think that's disconcerting. Hyunjin Ryu, strained, the same groin that he actually yanked off the bone last year.
Oh,
hey. Major injury. I think they're pretty hopeful right now that this is pretty minor, but, anytime you get an injury in kind of a similar area, I think that's got to be disconcerting. So, you know, it looked really good. You know, obviously, anytime a team's scoring 8 runs a game, it's going to look great. But I think you're going to have to slow down here, right? It's a very small sample size. And you look at this roster, there's some holes in it, you know? So I think, it's going to be kind of interesting how they address. I think maybe in the past, the lineup has been kind of the question. This year, I think the pitching is going to be the area of concern for that.
That's interesting that.
Good.
That Kershaw is trying to gain miles per hour. Like, usually as you get older, you're not getting that back. You just learn how to pitch. It's interesting that they think they can actually do it. I want to switch to another team in L.A. Big announcement yesterday. UCLA hires Mick Cronin. Was this their – I mean, obviously this wasn't their first choice. They were turned down a couple different times.
I think Dylan was the fifth choice and Mick Cronin was number six is how it worked out.
I mean, is it just as simple as they were turned down by everybody else? Is that why Mick Cronin ends up with the job?
Yeah, it seems like it, you know. Now, that said, I think in L.A. there is kind of precedence for – you know, maybe missing so bad where you make it type thing.
Right.
If you go back, right, the other big collegiate program in town, USC football, right, years ago, I think they struck out and candidate one, number two, number three, number four, settled on number five, who turned out to be Pete Carroll.
Right.
You know,
right.
Who at the time was a New England Patriots reject, right? So, and that worked out. And, you know, the one thing about Cronin now, I am not one of these people who puts too much weight into introductory news conferences, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the wins and the losses are going to determine everything. But you did get a sense that here's a guy who kind of knows what he's about. He has a set philosophy. You look at, like, the problems that they had under Steve Alford, they were defensive. You know, that was one thing about Alford's teams. Never, no matter what he did, no matter who he brought into a system, they could not defend. And, you know, so here's, you're going to have a guy who kind of plays, like, a high-intensity defensive style. And maybe that's what they need, you know. Now that said, that, you know, selling that to the fan base now is going to be a whole different issue, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
'Cause you have to remember that even when they had Ben Fallon and they made those three Final Fours, yeah, obviously the winning did bring the fans, but, you know, as soon as they had a chance to get rid of him, they did.
Right.
And so this is almost kind of like this weird acknowledgement of, like, yeah, we kind of messed up, you know. And I guess if there's anything positive to say about this, is that they finally kind of, in some way, moved on from the John Wooden thing. You know,
had they not moved on from that yet?
Oh, they will never. They will never.
Never.
But now it's kind of like, you know, with this one, you kind of get, you know, looking at who they ended up hiring, or even like if Jamie Dixon had been the choice, it was almost like, hey, let's relive the, you know, the good old days of Ben Howland,
right?
They were looking at somewhere other than Wooden, which I think is kind of a positive, I guess.
The Ben Howland that they fired after he did a pretty good job for
him? Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, and I think now the problem that you have here is that this looks dysfunctional now, yeah. Right? And Dan Guerrero, you know, I'll have a column that will be coming out in the paper tomorrow, whatever. But, you know, he didn't exactly explain away everything that gracefully today. You know, He kind of went with the whole fake news gambit, right, where he said, well, you know, some of the stuff that was out there wasn't accurate, but he wouldn't specify what was inaccurate, right? I went up to him as soon as the thing was done, and I'm like, okay, where did we mess up? And he wouldn't say anything, you know? So it's kind of convenient, right?
Right.
You kind of, you know, okay, well, you messed up, but I'm not going to tell you where type thing. You know, there's no reason for me to believe that that anything we reported was inaccurate. Ben Bolt, our beat writer, was really on top of this thing. And if anything, I actually think that as time goes on, we're going to find out about more offers even. You know, to some guys, you know, because my understanding is that they went down the entire list.
Wow.
Right? I mean, they went like Tom Enzo, you know, Brad Stevens, Jay Wright, you know, they went down like everyone. Right. I mean, this might not even be like, in all seriousness, you know, Cronin might have not been choice six. He might have been like choice 45.
Wow.
Right.
he's got to be feeling great.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, I think, you know, but he's kind of got the right demeanor for it, though. Like, he came across as very kind of likable.
Yeah.
And at a school that's become very kind of, you know, I don't know what to say, that they're very kind of, you know, it's a kind of place now where, like, no one wants to be held accountable anymore, right? Everybody talks in circles. Like I said, Guerrero today was kind of talking in circles. Alford was talking in circles while he was here. You know, this guy, Cronin, kind of came across as very kind of down-to-earth and a nice change of pace. You know, and he's not going to excite the fan base, right, the way, like, a Calipari would have.
Right.
But I think what you might end up with is kind of like a Doc Rivers-type situation, you know, where everybody who kind of comes in contact with the guy really respects the guy. And, you know, maybe within kind of a small circle, you gain a pretty good sense of loyalty. And, you know, and then obviously if they win, they do have the brand name. And I do think I could see them, you know, kind of getting back to national prominence under this guy.
Well, anytime you being, if it's a Doc Rivers thing, I'm sure UCLA will jump all over that considering the issues they've had in the program. Dylan Hernandez, LA Times, certainly appreciate your time, brother. Look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Always fun, Dylan. Thanks.
That was Dylan Hernandez on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big banking. It's better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our good friend Beto Duran from Spectrum Sports Net. And a host of the new LA Times Sports podcast. Beto, some surprising news from the Laker camp in the last 24 hours. Tell us a little bit of how this all kind of came about, how it all went down. Magic Johnson announcing that he is stepping down as president of the Lakers.
All right. Well, first of all, it's funny that I'm on your show because I was in the middle of texting Tony about the Lakers, because usually whenever there's Lakers drama, I text him right away. But last night was just so crazy, I didn't have a chance. Right. And then he's like, hey, just come on the show. I'm like, all right. So basically, I'm going to let you know what the text message is going to be. So I host the LA Times sports podcast called Arrive Early, Leave Late. And I threw the idea out to our bosses, like, hey, let's go to the last Laker game of the year, you know, and just do like a little wrap up. You know, take the listener there. Real simple. Ask some of the coaches, hey, how was this year? You know, basic stuff that we do. And I'm interviewing Bill McDonald, Lakers TV man, right about 5:55. And Billy Mack is, you know, great, giving me good little stories about the team and the season and, you know, whatever, whatever. And Magic Johnson is about 2 feet away from us. And it's in the hallway at Staples Center. So if you're watching a Laker game, they go through the tunnel where the players come out of the bench, right by their locker, and 10 feet away, Luke Walton is conducting his pregame media scrum, and there's like 50 people around him. You know, he's not going to say anything. Magic's 2 feet away from us. Magic walks in. He sees Luke walk away. So Magic goes and takes a turn in front of the scrum. And what are you thinking? Last game of the year, Magic's going to say, hey, it's a tough time, blah, blah, blah. You know, in front of the office, speak. Right? I don't care about that. It's, nothing never comes out of that. As I'm doing this interview, John Ireland walks by a minute after Magic left us, and he's like, you hear? Magic just stepped down. My what? Like, he was just next to us. Like, what is going on here? And we heard it, and Magic talked for about, I think, half an hour with the media. And it was weird, though, T, because so what we decided to do with the podcast is we scrapped all the interviews, and we did a synopsis of what was going on and, like, a timeline. Because me being me, I started just trailing Magic, like, okay, what's up with him? So I'm going to get a little long-winded here, but stay with me. He talked to the media for about half hour, talking about how he didn't even tell Jeannie. He was telling us first. And she found out via social media like the rest of us. And he's talking about how he couldn't tweet anymore. He's just giving all these excuses, this and that. And people ask him about Pelinka, and it's like he's backing up the bus on him. And we're like, wait a minute. A few months ago, it's all kumbaya. We were great. And then now it's, well, Rob and I really didn't know each other. And the members of the media look at each other like, oh, man, it's going to get like that. And, you know, Jim Hill's there asking all the questions. Everybody knows what's up. He talked for about half an hour. And the players are coming off the court just looking at us. The players didn't know. And usually at 6:15, they open up the locker room. Well, the players kind of looked at it like, what is going on? And I think they found out via their text messages or Twitter. And now the players are coming out of the locker room staring at us. And I forget which player it was, because it was a G League player, was looking at me like, yo, is this for real? I nodded my head. Abby gets talking. And then he starts walking, not towards the court, but he starts walking towards the loading dock where the players park.
Who's this, Magic?
And I'm like, Magic. Like, he's walking out of the arena. Went, okay. So, you know what normally happens. That's when Rachel Nichols did that interview with him that you saw all over SportsCenter. And that was an interview they did maybe 10 minutes. And Magic is there by that tunnel, and we're waiting for Jeannie Buss. And that's because Jeannie has to walk through that tunnel. There's only one way in through Staples Center. You have to walk through that loading dock to get there. And sure, so you know me being gossipy, I'm just hanging out, lurking in the back, tweeting away.
Right. Boy.
Exactly. Durant Sports, if you want to see the pics. And more and more media start coming. Magic holds another press card. Like, he just starts talking. And you know this, he'll talk and talk and talk. And I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, he's waiting for Jeannie right now. He hasn't told her, oh, this is going to be good. All the cameras are there. By this time, all the other TV station cameras are coming. And there's a bunch of us just waiting and waiting. The PR person comes and tells Magic that Jeannie's not coming. He looks at us and says, well, it sounds like she's not coming. All right, guys, I got to get going. It's been great. Thank you. And he starts walking towards his car, towards that loading dock. And all of a sudden, he stops after another 30 feet and starts talking again. And it just, I got the sense of this was a guy who was lingering and was willing to talk because he didn't want to leave. You know, like that last day of school where you're like, damn, the rest of my life, now what am I going to do? And by the time he finally did leave, it was 7:37 because I looked at my watch when it happened. And he left, and he's walking down that loading dock, and the only people that were there with him, members of the Lakers marching band that had just performed the national anthem, they saw Magic coming, and they stopped. Hey, Magic, can we get a picture? And he clapped his hand. Of course he can. You know, he has that great personality. And I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, wait a minute. This dude has a statue outside, is loved by everybody at the Laker fan, around the world, millionaire businessman, just walked into the arena as the president of basketball operations and is walking out of Staples Center for the last time being associated with the Lakers. Because the next time he goes, he's going to need tickets.
Yeah.
You know? And the only people that were there with him were members of the volunteer marching band. It was just a surreal night. And like all that is on the Arrive Early, Leave Late podcast. If you guys want to check it out from the LA Times. But it was just, gee, I've covered a lot of stuff in 17 years. And especially with the Laker drama, dude, I was there with Smush Parker, man. I believe me, I'm ready for everything. And last night was just one of those, like, what is going on? When members of the media who have been around when Shaq and Kobe were fighting and everything else going on, and, like, you know, Bill Plaschke and Brad Turner were talking about, you know, when they were there with Magic and now they had HIV, and then it's just, there's so many things, there's so many different layers, and there's so many questions that we don't have answers to yet.
Well, first of all, Beto Duran joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Spectrum Sportsnet contributor, host of the new LA Times Sports podcast, as you just heard him talking about. That's what caught me off guard, was he said he had a hard time talking to his sister about this. I just think back to that surreal moment when he had to announce to millions of people that he had HIV. And it just seemed like that would be seemed like it was a little bit higher on the scale of difficulty to pull off than telling Jeannie, who you've been known since you were 18, 17 years of age. You mentioned it being layered. There's got to be more to it than just not being able to tweet, not being able to mentor, right? I mean, were him and Rob beefing?
I mean, they weren't telling us, but when he's telling us in the 30-minute scrum, you know, well, it's up to Jeannie to decide if she wants to keep Rob. There were no, like, oh, no, we were cool. You know, he was all right. You know, we worked well. No, like, it's starting to come out. And, like, I'm not friends with Magic. I don't know him like the way other people know him. But I do know that enough people in the organization will talk about things. And there was always questions of, you have two people running one of the premier franchises in all of sports that have no front office experience. And, you know, you can go and be like, hey, I'm Magic, I can get guys here, but face it, LeBron was coming with or without him. Like, and you're trying to figure things out of how to perform here. You know, Rob Pelinka and Magic are both alpha male personalities. Yeah, you can put them in a room together, we can work, but at the end of the day, somebody's going to want to be the man. And, like, I don't want to speak into what the rumors are right now of, like, maybe he wanted Luke fired or Pelinka didn't. We don't really know the exact truth, but I will say this, though. When Magic said, I think 3 minutes into yesterday, when he talked to, after he made the announcement that this wasn't fun for him anymore, you know, you have to be cutthroat at this level.
Yeah.
But he also said, I didn't want to affect somebody's lives like I would have had to tomorrow, which essentially he's talking about, I wanted to fire Luke.
That's what catches me, because everybody's been reporting that Luke was getting fired, the staff was getting fired, and there's been reports that Jeannie Buss wasn't going to stand in the way. So what is the point of resigning unless you wanted to fire Rob Pelinka and maybe Jeannie Buss wasn't on board with that part?
That's where the tea leaves are. Okay, well, I'm not going to get what I want. I can't do what I want. And Magic running his businesses, at the end of the day, he's the final word, right?
Yeah.
A lot of speculation stuff, but there's enough people reporting on it. Like, it just sounded like he wasn't getting what he wanted. And, hey, all right, let me just cut bait right now. I'm done. Like, move on. And let me, if I'm not having fun doing it, I'm not making a difference of how I feel I can do it, then why am I even here when I can go, look, Magic Johnson has an amazing life. He goes on summer vacation all of August in Italy on a yacht.
Like, I saw it on Instagram.
He doesn't need this. He don't need to worry about the 11th man and what the payroll is. Like, he doesn't need this. Like, you have to be a different kind of person to be a front office person. You can't be that guy looking for attention, wanting to do this. You have to be wired different. And right now, whatever the Lakers decide to do, nobody knows. Because, look, yesterday I talked to one guy who was on the staff, low level. And I was like, what's up? He's like, hey, if I need you, I can text you, right? I was like, you sure can, man. I'll vouch for you whatever you need or if I hear anything. Like, dudes were expecting to get fired today. They fired the trainer because the trainer's the one who broke Rondo's wrist and, like, aggravated LeBron's groin, right? Like, you're just, like, there's just so many different things. It's been, look, the equipment manager, Carlos Maples, who had been there for, like, 25 years, he saw him as a ball boy, was gone in the middle of the season. Like, I mean, who's the one guy who's staying here, T, that you know is going to make sure everything's on his side, his way? Come on, Al.
Obviously, Magic couldn't pull that. Yeah, that, and obviously Magic couldn't have it his way. Beto Duran, Spectrum Sportsnet. I guess the most obvious question is, and we don't have the answer yet, but where do you surmise the Lakers organization goes from here, and where does Magic Johnson go from here?
Magic's gold, man. He even told Amin El-Hassan, he's like, I'll see you at the ESPN studios in a couple weeks. Like, he's good. He's going to be like, hey, I tried it, it didn't work out, cool. Because Magic is just that guy that no matter what, people are going to say, oh, yeah, he failed as a coach, he failed as a talk show host, he failed as an executive, and he's still like, people are like, man, blame it on Pelinka, blame it on the bus. Like, he's Teflon to a lot of Laker fans.
Yeah.
And Rob is hated by a lot of people in the NBA.
That's what
because the
word
of the way
is.
He acted when he was an agent. And, you know, people are petty in our business, and they're even pettier when it comes to money. So they're going to hold these grudges. And, look, when you're a Laker, a Yankee, nobody wants to help you. When you're down, they right. want to push you down even farther. It's no like, oh, let's root for the underdog here. It's cool. They're down. Let's keep them down. Obviously. But where they go from here, look, Pelinka now is the only one in the front office. So he might not get promoted, but now it's his word of what's going on. And if the Lakers are going to do something, today they had extra interviews. They had guys that you don't know who they are talking. Like, there was no Luke Walton talking today. There was no Pelinka. You know, Jeannie Buss sent out a tweet yesterday saying, oh, we thank Irvin for his time with the Lakers. You know, put the heart emojis. But she can't even at him, you know? Like, I mean,
and that seems like, so that seems so silly to me because those two are supposedly so close. That could have just even after he did the interview, they could have just called each other and got it over with once he wasn't going to come. But
you know what this is? All right, see, you got kids about to be teenagers. This is right here. Oh, you unfollow me? Okay, I'm gonna unfollow you too. Like, that's what it is.
You're right.
It is La La Land. That's what happens in Los Angeles. Beto Duran, Spectrum Sportsnet. Thanks for your time, Beto. Thanks for the insight. Thanks for taking us through a crazy night of Laker basketball, and we'll see what happens with this team and organization going forward. Appreciate it. We'll catch up to you soon, my friend.
Take care. And Tony, when you come to L.A., I know you'll be wearing your Magic jersey.
Probably.
He might go flip it on right now. Thanks, Beto.
Yep.
All right, that was Beto Duran on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. You can nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/nominate. San Diego County's credit union, it's not big bank banking, it's better.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, real quick, I wanted to start with something a little sad, but it's also a good thing to honor these people. One of our esteemed listeners out there DM'd me the other day. He's in the military, and he said on April 5th, it was the one-year anniversary of some of his friends passing away in Iraq, and he just wanted to give him a shout-out. So thank you so much for your service to Captain Palermo, Specialist Dallum, and Private Lopez. We just wanted to make people aware that you fought for our country, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yes, we live in the toy department here, talking sports. That's the real world department, and we thank all of our
men
veterans,
and women, yeah.
Soldiers, men and women in the armed forces. We're thinking about you at all times because you allow us the freedom to do this.
Mm-hmm. And that came from our boy Steve, so let's get into it, Thomas.
Number 5.
Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa is expected to be one of the top picks in the upcoming NFL draft, and he opened up about his politics in an in-depth interview published today. Bosa, in the past, regularly tweeted about his support for President Trump and his dislike for activist quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Well, he revealed to ESPN that he actually deleted those tweets over fears he may not be fully embraced by the city of San Francisco. should he end up getting drafted by them at the number two pick in the at the end of the month. Some of those tweets were screenshotted, of course, and of course
they are.
Everything lives forever. You can never delete anything. But one of them being, quote, Colin Kaepernick is a clown. And one of the other, one of my personal favorites, actually, I really like this one. It was, quote, Beyonce's music is complete trash. So he had to delete those from Twitter.
Why is that your favorite?
Because Beyonce's music is complete
trash.
Oh,
my Lord.
Oh, my goodness. That's now going to be, what you just said will be screenshotted forever.
Good point.
Yes, and Jay-Z may find out about it.
Uh-oh. Ooh, I don't want that. That would be bad. But
delete.
So Nick Bosa, he scrubbed his social media. Tony, do you think he needs to delete these tweets about political beliefs?
Does he need to? No, he doesn't need to. But if he wants to work for a professional organization that might look at that as a negative, he definitely does. I actually think he was smart. He got ahead of it when all of we had like 6-7.
What were we saying when that all that stuff happened? Is
we
get ahead of
get
it.
Get ahead of it. And I mean, people are going to screenshot it anyway. People have already done it. But at least you are trying to protect a little bit of what you got going there. And it doesn't seem like Bosa's one of the, it doesn't seem like he's backing away from his beliefs.
No.
It just seems like he recognizes that it might offend some people. And I think he got ahead of it, unlike some athletes that will still go down mm-hmm. because of some of this stuff.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think it'd be hypocritical of me to say that he has to delete and back away from this stuff. I mean, I think everybody has the right to their opinion.
Absolutely.
And the right to tweet out their opinion. We also have the right to not like your opinion, and the
Indeed.
Franchises have a right not to pick you because of your opinion. So, you know, it cuts both ways, really. I mean, if that's what he feels and he feels strongly about it, I say stick with it. I mean, why do you know, everything you say is offensive to somebody
right?
nowadays.
Right.
What he happened to tweet kind of is offensive to me, but
to
that
me
doesn't
well.
Mean he shouldn't be able to tweet it.
He should be able to say whatever he wants.
I think he should. It's a free country just because those soldiers we just talked about
yes.
gave us that right.
Very true.
Number four.
Not only did Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry give us the best soundbite so far of the NBA season, this one right here.
This whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
Which is the greatest thing. It was so funny when he did that.
was that better than take that for data?
Oh, that's in there, Thomas.
That was
take
one,
that for data.
Yeah, that was one of the better ones, too.
That was a good one. Well, Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry was talked about. He actually seeked out the media after the game last night, and he huddled up with the reporters, and they were asking him about how Anthony Davis's midseason trade demand had affected the team. Gentry said that it had created the most toxic environment he's ever been a part of. From ESPN, he said, quote, "Not this toxic, no. Not that affected two teams and two guys. One lost his job, and the other one resigned from his job. So no, in 31 years, I hadn't had anything that would equal this kind of fallout. No, I haven't. Wait, did I get that wrong?
Are you asking me?
I am asking you.
As I said at the beginning, this is the time in the program in which Scraby attempts the Big Five.
It says in the article that it created the most toxic environment, but then he goes on to say that it didn't create the most toxic environment. Anyway.
Get to your question.
Here is Alvin Gentry talking about Anthony Davis.
He said he hadn't had anything that would equal this kind of fallout.
So the triple, quadruple negative.
Yeah. Got you
confused
on that.
Confused me, yes.
I think he's a great kid. I think he's a very good kid. I think he's a solid guy. I stand it here. I don't care. I think he got some bad advice. If you want me to just be to tell the truth, I'll leave it at that.
I love how he wants to. He so badly wants to take the high road. He goes, I don't care. I'm going to say what I want to say. He says he got bad advice. Chris, do you think AD got bad advice?
I don't know, but I know that Alvin Gentry mishandled the situation about as badly as anybody could possibly mishandle it. Once it happened, it was there, all right? Anthony Davis demanded to be traded, so the Pelicans had their choice, and they could either try to trade him or they could keep him. And once they decided to keep him, then Alvin Gentry had his choice. He could either just let him play so the whole thing would go away, or he could sit him on the bench and refuse to play him and take him out of the games in fourth quarters so that the flames would be fanned even more. I think this was first Anthony Davis's bad advice, but I think it became so bad because of the way Alvin Gentry handled it.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think that AD got bad advice during the middle of the season?
Yeah, I think he got bad advice. However, I don't blame this on Alvin Gentry because Anthony Davis sitting came down from ownership.
That's true. You're right. And, he was forced to make him
right,
sit.
Right. If Alvin is thinking about his job, I think he better do what's told him from
well,
the business.
Well, I think he's going to lose his job anyway.
He very well might, which is the irony in is that he maybe should have just let him play and see what happened.
Right.
But, yeah, I think ultimately, I think if you ask Anthony Davis privately, he probably would tell you that if he had it to do over, he would have done it differently. Know that the advice was bad because I don't know what the advice was. Maybe it was forced to table trade and it just wasn't the way that it came out because it did turn into a dumpster fire. There's no doubt about it. So, I think he got bad advice ultimately.
You know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
It was.
Dumpster fire.
Number three.
I'm going to take the... No, forget it. I'm going to say what I want to say. Speaking of the Pelicans, we have two Pelicans in the Big Five today because Anthony Davis most likely has played his last game with the team and hinted at that with what he wore to the game last night. He sported a, quote, "That's all, folks," t-shirt as he walked through the Smoothie King Center, which is the famous... I believe that's Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
Warner Brothers is...
It's Porky Pig.
Porky Pig. That's all, folks. Yeah.
That was a really good Porky Pig.
Yeah, I think it's Porky.
Damn.
Save that clip. That was a really good Porky Pig. But the team actually kind of threw Anthony Davis under the bus because they snapped a photo of him, posted on social media, and fans went nuts because some thought it wasn't very nice because they had spent a lot of money on the team, and AD was kind of making a joke out of it. But... Here is what AD had to say about this shirt this morning when asked about it.
Are you more of a Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck guy?
I love them all. I'm a big cartoon guy. Looney Tunes is actually my favorite. So.
We got to ask, why did you choose that t-shirt?
I didn't choose it. I actually didn't choose it. It was hanging for me already when I put my clothes on. So.
Do you know who hung it?
No.
What?
Did you notice the reaction to it, I guess, or the perception of
it? I saw some stuff. Well, I heard some stuff, actually, you know. Heard some stuff about Space Jam. I heard some stuff about shout out to Pelicans. Oh, this is last game. Heard it all.
All right, well, there he is, AD, saying that someone actually hung that shirt up for him. And so, Tony, you're up first. Do you think that actually someone chose that shirt for him? Is he lying?
Here's the thing. I know all these dudes have stylists, but, I mean, at some point, even if it's hung up for you, don't you look at the shirt before you put it on? So, regardless of who hung it up, he didn't just throw the shirt on with his eyes closed, put it over his head, put his arms through it. Like, it didn't work that way. Like, you wrote you wore a That's All Folks shirt. Yeah, come on. Anthony Davis. Like, I know you're smart. I know you know that what that was going to lead to. Just own it. At this point, listen, you may be the problem is he's still under contract for another year, so he might have to come back regardless of all of this.
Yeah, I love how he says, you know, I heard some stuff about Space Jam and me, you know, taking shots at the Pelicans. But, yeah, of course you're taking shots at the Pelicans, Chris.
Have you ever been married?
I have not.
Okay. I have. I have shirts hung up for me.
Me too.
Yeah. Guess what? I wear them. I don't think twice about it.
That is true, too.
Now, I don't know that happened in this situation.
I don't think he has the married thing going for him.
Yeah, and I also don't want to get the thought out there that my wife chooses all my clothes, because if she had to take the blame for what I wear,
you'd be in
that
trouble.
Would be rather embarrassing for her. But, yeah, this is just
silly.
Anthony Davis being silly. Yeah. Thank you. It's just silly. It really is. And the whole situation is, what'd they say, dumpster fire?
Dumpster
and it
fire.
Continues.
Dumpster fire.
You know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
I really,
indeed it has.
I actually lose a little respect for Anthony Davis on this one. Mm. I really do. I mean, just trying to evade it the way he did. Just own it.
Right, if you're going to wear something that you know is going to cause, like, you couldn't, there's no way he could have put that shirt on.
Right.
Regardless of who hung it up.
Right.
And thought to himself, oh, yeah, this is a good shirt.
No one's going to react to this.
This isn't going to be an issue.
Yeah, just own it.
That's all, folks, on the last home game? Like, come on, man. Knock it off.
Just own it.
I love the question from the reporter, though.
Are you more of a...
Are you a big Looney Tunes fan?
Sometimes reporters do not have the guts to ask the question that they need to ask.
Did you hear him tiptoeing for the first little bit?
So they gave
him an opportunity to come clean. He didn't.
Right.
Number two.
And in the interest of time, number one. The Los Angeles Dodgers will soon welcome their ace back to the rotation. The Dodgers confirmed today that Clayton Kershaw will return from the injured list,
That whole read right there.
Oh!
Clayton Kershaw!
What am I, back in the 20s? Clayton Kershaw is going to be going back on the mound and hurling for the Dodgers on Saturday or Sunday or Monday.
You keep reading like this, we're all going to be hurling.
Yes, I know. He has been out with a shoulder issue since spring training, but Chris, would you bring him back now or in a few weeks so he is rested for the playoff run? Because he has trouble near playoff time.
Are you going to rest him a few weeks in April to get ready for the playoffs?
No, I'm saying like to keep his arm fresh for the late push.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to pass.
Don't laugh at me.
I'm going to pass.
I think this will be a great idea.
He's passing on the question.
Yeah. I think this will be a great idea, Tony.
I don't even get where this question is coming from. You mean he's ready to come back, so should the Dodgers say, hang on a little while?
It's a very well-known thing that his arm falls off in the playoffs, and they say it's because he's fatigued, so why not rest him been out?
I don't know if you've been paying attention to like the last two playoff runs where they've rested him literally for like all of August, half of July. And then in part of September, and then he comes back, works.
But you're taking him out of his mojo.
I don't think Clayton Kershaw's got a whole lot left in that arm. I truly don't. So I don't really think it matters when they bring him back. I think he'll use whatever bullets he has left. And I think the Dodgers may have to get to the postseason without him.
I'm not quite ready to go as far as Chris does, only because he's a former teammate of mine. And I don't want to see.
That's right. You know him, man.
I don't
you know
wanna
what
see,
he's made of.
Yeah, I don't want to. And I know what he's made of. And
he's a competitor.
Exactly. So I don't know what he has left. But certainly he's had a tremendous run. And if he can find a way to help this team in any way, they seem to be going pretty well right now, except they're about to be tied for first with the Padres.
Because it's 5-2 Cardinals now.
What?
No, I was waiting for the end.
And we're going to start over. We're going to do it again.
Of all the Big Fives we have ever done, that is the last one that we're going to do over again.
That was eventful.
At best. All right. Thanks for joining us today. They got off to a great start with the Padres 3-1 victory. Then we came on the air. We'll try it again tomorrow, 3 o'clock, prior to Padres baseball. Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Thanks to Matt Scraby for entertaining us today. Thomas Andrews, Will Galvez. For Tony Gwynn Jr., I'm Chris Ello. Enjoyed spending part of our Wednesday with you right here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.